Yeah, this is a difficult one. I mean, on the one hand, it has to be said that Ireland is still, the majority of its citizens would still self-identify as Christians. Now, they may not consider themselves to be and may not actually be practicing Christians, but they would still self-identify as Christians. They did in the last census. We'll see what happens with the one coming up. So that's one thing we have to keep in mind. And on the other hand, of course, it's true that we have an increasing number of people who don't self-identify in that way in this country. So how do you cater for both? And, you know, if you over-cater, so to speak, for those who do not self-identify as Christian, then you can do a disservice to the majority, who has still the majority of the people of this country who do. How to find a way that kind of can hold both sensitivities and concerns and commitments and all that together is the challenge. I just think we just need to have a lot more dialogue and discussion about this. And we've reached the point now, I think, where that has to be, and hopefully it will happen. But we have to be careful not just to rush to one or other kind of way of trying to deal with this.
I mean, the issue of not having prayer before dole, I mean, that's an issue that every now and again you would hear politicians saying, you know, we want to get rid of that, or that has no place in modern Ireland.
Yeah, well, I have to be honest and say that when I was studying theology even, some lecturers like to begin their classes with a prayer. Now, I have to say, in all honesty, I wasn't always in favour of that, because I felt, look, this is, we're trying to study here, and if I wish to pray, I pray, you know, before class or after class, but I don't necessarily have to have a prayer to begin the class, because the focus here is on how to study, what we're studying. And of course we bring who we are, and if we're praying, we bring that with us to our study. But I just think to kind of actually make it part of the class, I have to be honest, in favour of that. So I do see a place for people saying, you know, look, we shouldn't start all proceedings with prayers. But what you'd hope is that people who do value prayer would pray, and it would influence how they do things. And those who don't pray, well, won't pray. Mm. So, I don't think the issue is about trying to get rid of prayer from people's lives, but it's, I suppose, there's a time and a place for praying, and I can see, you know, the point of view of those who would wish it not to be there at the beginning of dole proceedings or whatever it would be. Prayer, I think, and praying is important, I believe, certainly. And you'd hope that it would continue to be valued by people, but that doesn't mean that it has to maybe introduce the opening of the dole, say, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, and you often see things like around Christmas or Easter, people say things like happy holidays as opposed to using the Christian term.
Well, to be honest with you, I do think Ireland has gone a bit far here. I mean, Michael D. Higgins, a man I have a lot of respect for, we worked together over many years on social justice issues. I've worked in Latin America as a missionary. He had a lot of concern for Latin America, and we walked the streets of Dublin in shows of discontent or protest, shall we say, against the US foreign policy in Latin America and all that. And I used to receive a Christmas card from him for 20 years. We haven't had the contact more recent years, but we would still have a lot of regard for each other. So he's a man I'd have a lot of regard for. But I found it very disappointing, I have to say, that he hasn't been able, say, at Christmas time and when he speaks, to make any reference to the fact that this is a Christmas feast we're celebrating, and that most of the people of the country of which he's president are Christians. And I don't think that people who are not Christian and I would be offended by him making any reference. And I'm thinking, for example, that I'm part of the Spirituality Interest Group at Trinity College, the School of Nursing, Midwifery, and we had a humanist in to speak about, you know, the humanist perspective on things. And I remember a Chinese lecturer there saying, look, she wasn't part of the mainstream religious commitment, position, whatever, of people in this country, but that she certainly would want people in the country where most of the people were of a particular religious affiliation, whatever, to have that reflected in the life of the people in the society, and that they weren't doing her any favours by trying to kind of not do that because she wasn't part of that affiliation. She said, I think that would be the case. I think mature people who are not Christian are going to object to it being said by the President of Ireland, where most of the people are Christian at Christmas time, which is a Christian feast, that you can make some reference to Christianity, to Christmas, of the birth of Jesus Christ. Point to him as said by Michael there recently, he spoke about the influences on the 1916 leaders and that, and the background of influences on them. And, you know, again, he did not acknowledge that their Christian religion was very important for many of them. I mean, even James Connolly, it's known, looked to have a priest attend to him, even when he was in Dublin Castle, before ever he was put into the Kilmainham jail. And that, other leaders too certainly looked for that, and a lot of people's confessions were heard. And I mean, that's just the truth of the people of the Rising. So for Mike not to, I mean, certainly Pierce's position was absolutely inexplicable without his Christianity. Now, I'm not saying I subscribe to everything that he thought regarding Christianity, but... you know, it is a fact that it was a big influence on a lot of leaders of the Rising. So to speak about the influences on the Rising and the leaders of the Rising without acknowledging that as the President of Ireland on the centenary of the Rising, it seemed to me, I mean, the man's an academic. Authentic academic practice, it seems to me, means that you try to be free of bias. This is what the real meaning of being an academic is. You try to see things in a way that's free of bias, and you're open and try to get to the truth in a very open-ended way. And I think not to acknowledge the role of Christianity and the leaders of the Rising, isn't even being academic.
And what do you think the leaders of the Rising would think of the Ireland that we live in today, or even of the celebrations, from the perspective of, you know, the role that they saw Christianity and religion and God playing in the Rising?
Well, they certainly saw God, I mean, it's there in the proclamation, as being very important to the future development of Ireland. And in Ireland, where God has gone away from so many, they would certainly, I think, wonder what happened. And there are reasons, of course, why it has happened, and there are certainly very understandable reasons why it has happened. But I think we have to distinguish between, let's say, historical reasons as to why people no longer feel, some of them no longer feel comfortable being Christian or self-identifying publicly even with being Christian. And what is authentic Christianity? I mean, authentic Christianity is not necessarily, and is not, in fact, synonymous with a certain historical form of Christianity that came about. It's certainly nothing to do with clergy and religious abusing children and covering up such abuse. Nothing whatsoever to do with it, except that, unfortunately, some people in that tradition have done this. But authentic Christianity would certainly not be promoting anything like that, and quite the opposite. And I like very much John's Gospel, where he speaks about, in the first letter of John, where he speaks about God is love. And I think that is the central thing about Christianity. God is love, and Jesus Christ gave his life in love for children, for the poor, for women. I believe it's a way of reading Christian story, and it's one of the modules I teach, when I bring this out, where I think it can be said that a very strong reason why he was killed in the end was because of his stance in favour of the liberation of women in their society at the time. Liberation from male hegemony, male liberation from a religious tradition that tended to put them down and so on. So authentic Christianity is one thing, and then particular historical forms it has taken is another. And you can say that because certain historical forms are objectionable, that therefore we throw everything out and say that Christianity in any form must be also.
I mean, maybe the church can learn from the secular society, and the secular society can learn from the church. I mean, maybe there can be a meeting. Or are they just too divergent?
No, I mean, the Ignatian spirituality, the spirituality of my own order, is one which says that God can be found in everyone and in everywhere and everywhere. And so certainly whatever's happening in society in general, is something where God may be speaking to us. And so whatever is happening in society is potentially God speaking to us. So we have to look at developments in society and see, are these trends and developments, you know, ways in which perhaps God is speaking to us? And so the Christian church doesn't close itself off and only work things out in isolation from society. It's part of society. Society is part of it. And we're all trying to learn from each other and trying to see how best to work, move forward together.